Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew in chapter 26. In Matthew 26, we're reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 75. In Matthew 26, and beginning in verse 1. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." And the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head and as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came with the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Those are God's words. This chapter is one of the most detailed as it has to do with the events leading up to the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. There's in the first five verses the conspiracy by the chief priests and the elders and the leaders there of the Jews to against Christ to put him to death. And through verse 13, Jesus is anointed with the oil and preparing for his burial. Then through verse 16, Judas Iscariot plans to betray Jesus. Through verse 25, Christ celebrating the Passover and then immediately from there instituting the Lord's Supper. And as the supper symbolized, so we come to his suffering, his agony in the garden, and then being seized by the chief priests by the betrayal of his own disciple, Judas. In the end, we find Peter, the one who promised, "I will never betray you, I will die for you." And he denied Christ three times. Every day we are put in a place where we could deny Jesus, deny the Christ. Sometimes it's before others. Sometimes it's in our temptations to sin. It's at work, or it's in our neighborhood with our neighbors. It's talking with people about other things, and it comes up. But each day, beloved, we are called to turn to Christ, to seek by the Holy Spirit to be faithful to Him always. And when you fail, like Peter, then turn back to Him in full faith in Him and His righteousness for you, His suffering and death for you. For that is alone where we find our hope. For if Peter can fail, and all the other disciples can say they would die for Jesus, and many of them did die eventually, and yet they all forsook him and fled and scattered, then we will surely do the same. But like them, we have to turn back to Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise for your word. We praise you that you teach us even of the greatest, most righteous of men on this earth, except Christ, of the most righteous of men. They deny you at times. And so when we deny you each day, when we sin and we turn from you and we forsake you and we turn from your ways and we're not faithful unto you, we're unfaithful, Father, by your mercy and by your grace, save us. Turn us from ourselves. Cleanse us of our sins. Turn us back to your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would no longer deny him, that we would not keep on denying him, but that we would repent of our rebellion, of our denials. And just as we heard that verse this morning, if we, those who honor you, you will honor. But if we deny you, then you will not honor us. So, Father, in these things, as we've heard this evening, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We have sinned against you. We've broken, as Peter did, the greatest commandment, to to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, no matter the cost. You even call us to take up our cross and follow after you. And we often like to lay the cross down and avoid suffering, avoid the path that Christ took. Walking in His steps, we often forsake that way for the easier way, which we know leads to thorns and thistles and death. And Father, may it not be that way. May in each one of us You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that You help us by Your grace to submit to Your commandments, that You would submit, that we would submit to Your leanings and urgings, even through Your word. And You would grant in all things, and in everything we do, that we would honor Your Son, Jesus Christ, who when they reviled Him, He did not respond. Just as we see in this passage. Father, when people attack us, we pray that we would trust Christ. And we would trust You in all things. And that is a great difficulty for each one of us, for we often are weak in faith. And so build us up in the faith. Encourage us in the faith. We're thankful in that for the Lord's Supper, as we heard this evening, that we know that You give us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as it was instituted by Christ there after the Passover to strengthen us in our faith. And in the coming weeks, about a month from now, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper again. Pray that You would strengthen us by Your faith. By the faith that You work in us and give us as a gift. Father, we don't merely ask for our souls for help, but for our bodies too. I ask that You would be with Tim's mother, still recuperating from her fall and surgery. Pray for Dave's mother as well. You would strengthen her in body and also mind and soul, and her trust would be in You always. Pray that You would be with those really struggling in body today, like Dina and Mark and Phil and Julie. Father, we pray for Tim Lindsay as they're beginning to move tomorrow to North Carolina. We pray that You would bless them in their move and everything and that has to go along with that. And You would provide work for him. Provide also a church. And we know there is a church that they're planning to attend. We thank You that it is a faithful church. We ask that You would use them in that body to build them up and that they would be welcomed in the body and that Your name would be praised and honored. Father, we pray for the church in Wichita. It's struggling now. Another member of family is moving away, and that will make that congregation that much weaker. And yet, at the same time, as we pray for them and You would strengthen them and give wisdom to the presbytery as they seek to help that congregation or give wisdom of the next steps for that congregation, we ask that You would also be with Joe, their pastor. You'd provide for them a new call if that's Your will, or if it's to stay there and continue there in Wichita. We pray that You would uphold him and strengthen him for that. Father, we pray that You would not leave his family without provision. And you're the God who always provides, so we trust you will. We pray, though, as that family is, that one family is moving to Waco, Texas. I heard yesterday, you of course know that there are families who are interested in planting a church there. Some three families, and so we pray that if a church plan is to be there, Father, we ask that you would raise up families and a pastor for them at the right time. We pray the same for the group in Houston, and pray for a minister for them in Oklahoma City and San Antonio. Father, you would provide for your people worship, right worship, that honors you and brings glory to your name. And further, we pray for Shane and his training for the next few months, or however long it takes, that it would go well, and that you would grow him in faith, grow him in knowledge and understanding, wisdom of your word, to be even better prepared to, if it be your will, to become a deacon. Of course, just as we heard this morning, and as has to do with the civil magistrate and how you bring about your rulers and the people are to approve them, so it is in the offices of the church, that it might seem like one is called, and yet the people of the congregation must approve that, just as you did with the replacement of this betrayer, Judas Iscariot, in Acts chapter 1. Your apostles set two men before them who were qualified, and the people decided. And that showed forth God's call. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the way you use all of us for the upbuilding and growth of your kingdom. We pray for all the babies, the little ones, in the womb and outside the womb, and our children, that you would bring them to yourself, that everything would be of them would be healthy. You grant to them good health in body and soul, having them come to your Son Jesus Christ by faith. Send your Spirit even now, if that be your will. And then, Father, this week, this coming week, and the weeks ahead, grow us in faith, grow us in number, if that be your will. We ask that you would protect us from evil and the wicked out in the world, the devil, the temptations that he brings and tempts us with, that we would not be led into temptation but delivered from evil. You make us those who forgive. For we know if we don't forgive, you will not forgive us. In all things, your glory, your praise be known to the ends of the earth, that the gospel would go forward, even amongst us, to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.